Welcome to the Brampton Talks podcast. Today we're talking about an eight-year-long lawsuit that the city of Brampton just won, amalgamation, and the cannabis debate. Local developer Inzola just lost an eight-year-long battle with the city of Brampton over the recent City Hall expansion.
And by recent, we're talking about like, when was the Southwest Quadrant built?
Literally, it's been a few years since it was
built. It's called the West Tower now.
The West Tower.
Actually, very nice.
It does sound very nice. It just was completed a few years ago. I think it's just been like 3 or 4 years since they finally completed it. The City Hall staff moved in. But this lawsuit is from 8 years ago. Like, this thing has been going on for forever.
So break it down. In non-legal terms.
So the city of Brampton, they wanted to expand City Hall. They put out an RFP process to get vendors to express their interest. So in Zola, they put in an RFP. They moved on to the second process of the RFP, and then they were disqualified. So in Zola said that they were, you know, wrongfully disqualified from the process, that the mayor at the time, who was Susan Fennell, and some of the other senior members of City Hall team were biased against them and kicked them out of the process for whatever reason. The city said, no, we kicked you out because you broke the rules. You talked to city staff and you talked to council about your proposal, which you were not allowed to do. At this time, the city had implemented a new sort of process for tendering big projects like this. So they really wanted an arm's length approach where council and some other staff wouldn't be able to influence it. So I think council voted. They were able to pick the different RFPs that they liked without knowing who the bidder was. And the bidder wouldn't be revealed until after to kind of eliminate bias so people wouldn't choose sort of the ones they liked. In the end, Inzola didn't win. They got kicked out halfway through. And Dominus, another company, were the ones that won the proposal in the end.
So Inzola is like a storied local developer based in Brampton. They build a lot of stuff around in the city. I think the first old City Hall, now I guess not that old, but yeah, City Hall, where like the council chambers are, was built by Inzola, mm-hmm. if I remember correctly.
They've done all sorts of stuff. The courthouse, I believe, and some other things.
Well, they've had a hand almost in every major development in the city. Yeah. Storied developer as far as like a Brampton developer goes. They're also very active politically. Very good friends with, correct me if I'm wrong, like former councillor Lane Moore. Very close. Well, actually, they're one of the spearheads behind New Brampton, which was that... I guess lobbying group that was launched to push forward.
No. It's an advocacy group.
Okay,
no,
okay.
Don't call it a lobby.
That's
group.
Right. That's
I don't think they're officially registered as lobbyists.
No. We need a separate show on New Brampton. Actually, I don't want to get stuck in the weeds here on New Brampton.
Yeah.
But so Inzola has not been afraid to throw its weight around politically in the community, and now they just lost the most major case that Brampton's been dealing with for the last eight years.
By the way, it was for $28.5 million. So we're not talking chump change. When they sued the city, they were essentially suing for what they would have made had they gotten the project.
Yeah. I think someone on Twitter said this, was like, oh, I didn't realize how much I cared about this project until now, right? Like when the lawsuit finally lifted, and now I feel like a big thing is just lifted off the chest of Brampton. It's been a nuisance for the last 8 years. I remember during our time in Mayor Jeffrey's office, people used to complain all the time, well, why isn't the mayor just solving this issue? I was like, well, that's not how law works. You know, the lawyers have it. It's in front of the courts. Well, why doesn't she just settle? And this came from folks like Citizens for a Better Brampton.
Why did they really just want people to settle?
There were some counselors that wanted to settle.
It makes no sense, right? Like, I mean, why do you want to admit loss when the courts haven't even decided yet in this particular case? I mean, the city was insured against the lawsuit, number one.
Yes.
So there was the insurance provider that was basically saying, okay, yeah, you can fight this, mm-hmm. right? Because, you know, we're willing to back you up. So, I mean, when, you know, actuaries have decided that, hey, maybe, you know what, there's a winning fight here.
Well, it wasn't like, win or lose, it wasn't going to cost the taxpayer. So the original argument was like, well, this legal case and all this stuff, it's a detriment to the taxpayer dollar. Well, no, we're insured against it.
Yeah.
Then it was like, well, the city's going to lose. And well, I know we have independent expert legal advice that's saying, no, this is worth fighting.
Yeah.
then it just became like this political thing, right? And those folks that are involved with New Brampton, there was counselors, there was like the other advocacy organizations that were saying, no, we must settle, we must settle.
It's really weird that there's advocacy organizations just premised on this one stupid ass lawsuit, yes. Right? It's like, it's just advocacy organizations created, you know, to support, like, it seems at least that they're just there to support Enzola against the city.
Well, and then Citizens for a Better Brampton, which was very active in the last term, it was very much an anti-Jeffrey, anti-progressive body.
They were also anti-Fennel. So it's like, yeah. You know, when you have like two different mayors, especially mayors.
Well, like they're pro Elaine Moore.
Yeah. Yes, they were.
So I was just going to say, the Citizens for a Better Brampton put out a statement denouncing the settlement. I mean, sorry, the legal victory.
That doesn't make it not real. Like, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it still exists.
Like, how like, fucked up
so
is that?
So are you saying is that they're
upset the city won?
The other thing to consider here, too, is that Elaine Moore, and I think it was Grant Gibson, actually testified and gave evidence against the city. Like, what they provided in the courtroom worked against the city.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
it's just so odd.
They basically said, like, you know, the city was biased. That he had grounds to win because, frankly, Susan Fennel and some of the others, Deb Dubrovnosky, who was the city's CAO at the time, were biased.
It's a blast from the past talking about these folks.
I know. I'm like, who are these people? Because it was so long ago. This is the thing. This dragged on for so long. I think that part of this, too, and for me, for people who are like finally excited that this has happened, like, this is seriously downgraded Brampton's dumpster fire status. Because if you look at the city like 4 years ago or 5 years ago when, you know, Mayor Jeffrey was the mayor, that we had like this lawsuit had been dragging on already for a few years. Mm-hmm. You know,
well, Sam Gutterwell made his name on this lawsuit, right? Like, this, his reporting around this lawsuit and the Southwest Quadrant expansion, City Hall expansion, was like his claim to fame.
Yeah, and now he runs the Pointer.
Yes.
So there was that. There was the lawsuit. There was, you know, we knew we had the terrible credit rating, all sorts of things that were like, you know, Brampton is like a flaming fire. Let's, everybody watch out. And now it's like slowly we're ticking those things off the list. We're finally starting to come back to a place where it's like, you know, Brampton.
Thank you, Mayor Brown.
Yeah.
He's done so much work in the 2 months.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It takes time for things to transpire. And a lot of this stuff was activated during Mayor Jeffrey's term, right? Like fixing the books, improving the credit rating, the legal strategy. And a lot of the, you know, politicians like take credit for everything. A lot of it too was just, you know, our city legal staff. Yeah, and there was a lot of good decisions done by staff as well. Mm-hmm. So you have that working together. It's just really funny kind of looking back at how some people acted about this lawsuit and how kind of cozy they seem to be with the developers' arguments on this to the detriment of the city's position on this.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing. This is a good thing for Brampton. So you have to wonder when people are upset that the city of Brampton won a lawsuit and that a developer who, you know, for all intents and purposes, pretty well off.
It's a private company.
Doing well. Why would you be upset about that?
And for the folks that were like, during the last couple of years, were like, well, we should settle. You know, I, speaking as a lawyer, I think the only thing you can walk away with at this point is, I think you're going to have to eat shit.
I think we just, you know, we're done. This conversation's over. I think he's just, you know.
Yeah.
Nobody.
Yes. Legal has spoken.
Yeah.
Could Brampton and Mississauga become the same city in the future? Well, that could be the case. The provincial government just announced this week that they're going to be looking at regional governments across the province.
It's funny because, you know, can we take credit for like first bringing this up? Because we brought this up like, I think for like our first show. Like, it was like our first or second episode that we talked about.
So you heard it here first, people. We're taking credit. Like if Brampton and Mississauga become amalgamated,
I think what this shows is that, you know, we are connected and our ears are effectively to the ground hearing what's coming
powers,
what's coming down the pipeline. No, it's okay. The Ford government announces that we're going to look at regional governance, which is fine. I think regional governance needs to be looked at for a very long time, especially somewhere like Peel, where it's skewed against Brampton pretty badly. But what does that mean? So it can mean essentially two major things, or three, I guess, in the case of Peel. It can either mean that we finally fix governance. Like, Brampton gets its fair share of seats at the region appeal. For some reason, I don't feel like that's likely in this scenario. No. It's one of the next two. Either they're going to allow Mississauga to walk, right? Which is Bonnie has been talking about, his council's been talking about.
She's been living for this. She dreams at night about severing her ties with Brampton and Caledon.
Yes. Well, and Hazel did as well. And if you look at Mississauga, what's the feather in the cap in all this? They have five PC MPs. MPPs, sorry. So if they have a voice at the table, if anyone has a loud voice at the table, it's probably Mississauga.
Definitely them. You're absolutely right about that.
And then thirdly, what's the final probable outcome of this is amalgamation, right? Like, you get Mississauga and Brampton, you combine them together. Bonnie was asked about this at a meeting of the GTA mayors in Toronto. That was coincidentally happening at the same time the announcement broke that they're looking at regional governance. Bonnie went up to responded to a reporter question saying, you know, these are three very different cities, so it makes no sense for us to be together. Caledon, yes.
She's already like, that's very different.
Yeah.
Sorry, it's not me, it's you. We need to break up. Like, well, she's ready to go.
And Patrick Brown kind of seemed a little... I don't know what his position would be, and I don't blame him. I don't. Yeah. I think Brampton has a little... Brampton has three avenues here that it can walk with. The reality, though, contrary to I think what Mayor Crombie believes, is that Brampton and Mississauga are more similar than they are different, to be frank. Caledon, yes, is very different. It's probably better off merging with whatever regional governance structure exists north of Caledon.
Hills, maybe, or something.
Whatever. Irrelevant. But in the case of Mississauga-Brampton, I think there's a fair legitimate argument to be made for amalgamation between the two cities. I think they're a lot more similar than they're different, and we already share so much via regional governance.
We share a lot of infrastructure. We share the police. We share, basically water filtration, everything.
Yeah.
Except for maybe, I think the city just handles, for the most part, zoning, land use, just transit for the most part.
And some of those things, like transit works better. Like, with economy of scale, you can improve transit. The big fear is that if you amalgamate, will Brampton be kind of ignored in this new government?
Well, if Bonnie has anything to say about it, she's already like, I don't want these folks.
She's already lining up, like, get rid of these guys.
Yeah, so I don't know if it's looking good, if it's, you know, the region of, or the city of Peel and Bonnie's the mayor. I think Patrick Brown's his response was interesting at the meeting with all the mayors. I mean, people were all like, well, people are trying to, this is it. Doug Ford's really trying to screw Patrick Brown, and this is how he's going to do it. And his response was that he didn't really think there's anything nefarious or evil or whatever about this decision. They've been saying for a little while that they wanted to look at this. We kind of knew. We talked about this in other podcasts, that something would be coming down in 2019. So the question is, what does Brampton do? What would we do? We've paid all this money over the years. Mississauga's been able to develop and become the city that it is off of the backs of Brampton taxpayers.
Yeah.
Because we've paid in to the region of Peel.
Yeah. Well, if Crombie's going to say, well, Mississauga's at a different stage of development now and Brampton's at a different stage, therefore we should split up.
Your city is kicking butt because, well, we've paid for it.
Yeah. We all paid into Mississauga's development.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
That's the whole damn point that you're at a different stage and maybe at a certain level of development.
And to be fair, I mean, Brampton at this point is largely Mississauga's suburb.
It is.
Than it is Toronto's suburb.
It is. It really is. We're the suburb to Mississauga. Yeah. So, and you got a lot of development coming up. Things like here in Ontario with the LRT coming in. Like, the connectivity between Mississauga and Brampton is quite stark. It essentially is the same city already to a large degree.
And I feel like just arbitrary borders. I mean, the moment we start talking about arbitrary borders, that's when we start kind of... we start dumbing down ourselves.
Yeah.
Right. Like we can't actually like imagine, you know, great solutions for the future if we start thinking about these borders. I think what might happen is they might just less so amalgamation, more so redrawing Mississauga's borders to include much of Brampton.
And yeah, but at that point, you might as well amalgamate.
Oh, might as well amalgamate. But like this way, you don't have to have the conversation about combining a lot of services together.
I can see a city of Peel scenario playing out. I really can. It makes no sense to allow Mississauga to just break. Like, that's just unacceptable for Brampton. Like, we blast out big time if that happens.
Yep, we would.
Yeah, and but I also have to look at the implications for our taxes too. And how do we support ourselves outside of the region?
Yeah, as we continue to grow out, which is correct that Mayor Crombie said that, like, Brampton's in a growing out stage and Mississauga's in a growing up stage. I think that's kind of a very simplistic way to look at it.
It is.
I think Brampton
is a hater. She's being a hater.
Brampton's doing growing up and out. Like, it's doing both, right? Like, you can walk and chew at the same time. What kind of excites me about amalgamation, though, is if you amalgamate Brampton and Mississauga together, you have a city over 1 million. You become a major national player in Canada.
We'd be the second biggest city in Ontario.
Yes. Yeah. And what would
next
be
to
like
Toronto.
Top three in Canada?
We would be.
Right? Yeah. As it was, sure, our borders are probably geographically we're larger than some other cities, but if we hit over 1 million as a city, we're probably top three in the country. Mm-hmm. North America, we have weight. Right?
Yeah.
Like as a millions plus size city.
Yeah.
So you become a not only a national player, you kind of become an international player as well as a city. Imagine like the muscle you can flex if you're a cohesive municipality of like city of Peel. That gets me excited. Obviously, there's a lot of issues.
Yeah.
But nothing stops the local like microcultures within, let's say, Brampton. Like that doesn't disappear if you amalgamate as a city. Right? No. You'll still have Bramley. You'll still have Heart Lake. You'll still have downtown.
You'll still have Streetsville and all the others.
Yeah, too. And that still exists.
Those are neighborhoods. Those are communities. They're never going to go away, no matter what. You know, Bramley is still Bramley.
Yeah.
Even though it amalgamated all those years ago with Brampton. I think it's funny because we posted this on Twitter, on Instagram, and like almost everybody was like, sign us up. We're ready to go. Like, let's amalgamate today. So, I mean, Brampton doesn't seem to have a problem with this. It will really depend, I think, on how Mississauga feels. Might reflect how Bonnie Crombie feels a little bit too, right? If she continues to perpetuate this idea that like we should just split up, and then if we're thrown together in an amalgamation, Mississauga might not be particularly happy about that.
Well, and let's not forget, it's not like Bonnie and Ford, or sorry, Mayor Crombie and Premier Ford are best friends either. Like, Bonnie Crombie's like a rumored heir to the Ontario Liberal Party leadership. You know what I mean? Like, she is not like cut from the same cloth
as
Doug Ford.
Or anything.
No, and by no means. Okay, does Ford hate Bonnie as much as he hates Patrick? Probably not, right? But the reality is, it's not like Bonnie has some special relationship with Premier Ford. So I don't believe that Mississauga is going to dictate the terms there. I really do think the Ford government is going to sit down and be like, what, quote unquote, saves us the most money and brings about the most amount of efficiency? Amalgamation, fixing the regional governance, or just breaking them up as three independent cities.
Yeah, and I mean, they made that pretty clear, you know, when they made the announcement that they were looking for to create efficiencies and to get rid of duplicated services and all that stuff. And that, you know, that kind of screams our current situation, right? We have duplicate in transit in other areas. So, I mean, Doug Ford has already proven that he doesn't give a crap what other people say. He's going to do what he wants to do anyway. Look at our GO train schedule. They just did that one day without telling anybody. So I think you're right. It's really going to just come down to what they're feeling that day, what they want to do.
If the past is any indication of what's going to happen in the future, the PC government has not been shy to amalgamate. It's a new government. It's obviously not Harris or like the you know, who Davis or whoever, but a lot of the players, a lot of those threads do weave themselves through different iterations of the party. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's amalgamation, and not just of Peel, like of other regional governance municipalities as well.
Yeah, and I mean, if we're looking at sort of long-term having a PC government, maybe this is better for Brampton too, because we've speculated, it's always a topic of conversation, whether Brampton gets the short end of the stick consistently because of who our mayor is, right? That's a reality that we're all considering. So does that put Brampton, which wouldn't be Brampton anymore if we were amalgamated, in a better position to get more funding and to get some of the things done that people on this side, you know, north of Mississauga, really, really need?
Yeah, I think so. Like, you can have 11 MPs, 11 MPPs, you're going to have the city council. If they just mimic the boundaries that they've mimicked federally and provincially, like they did with Toronto, you're going to have 11 city councilors. It's a pretty even split. It's not like one area is going to have a dominance over the other.
Yeah.
And all the growth is in Brampton. So the expansion is only going to happen in Brampton. That scale can tip fairly quickly in the next 15, 20 years. So in my eyes, It's a win if Brampton amalgamates out of the three scenarios that have been presented.
Should Brampton build a wall to keep out cannabis? A city councilor is suggesting that we do just that.
God.
So it's imaginary wall.
Heavy sigh from Sushil.
I know.
First of all.
It's a political wall.
A proverbial wall.
But like, did you see the picture where...
Oh, that's such a sad prop.
She's bricks.
That's such a sad prop.
So she had an actual bricks. So let's give some people some context here. So she's suggesting that all...
Who's she?
Oh, she. Yeah, right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Councillor Charmaine Williams, Ward 7 and 8, new councillor. Pretty, she's a rookie on council. She just won and the election on October 22nd.
Definitely
she's
a
suggesting
just
that
in
the
politics.
She's the G. You are. This is going to be a fun conversation. She's suggesting that the GTA's 26 municipalities built a proverbial wall to keep out cannabis. So, I mean, we already know that's impossible because Toronto has already voted yes. There's a few municipalities, Mississauga, Oakville, and a few others that have voted no. But she really doesn't want cannabis in Brampton and retail cannabis stores.
Yeah, so she suggested a political wall and asked a bunch of municipalities. So she built like a prop in her office on her desk.
With bricks. With actual bricks.
And she wrote on the bricks the name of cities. And as a representation of, symbolic representation of this wall, of all these cities coming together to stop the invasion of pot stores. I think if memory serves me right, there's two bricks in that wall that say Brock.
Is that a city or a university?
I'm going to go
That's
look at
university.
That.
Well, Brock University is in St. Catharines.
I'm going to double check
okay.
this.
So
Shiel starts ranting. I know he's itching at this.
Okay, look. I mean, what makes me mad about this is that I feel like Councillor Charmaine Williams was just elected for, like, she's the moral panic. You know, she's the moral panic button of city council right now. And it seems as if, like, it's just these hot button issues of, you know, pot stores and gang violence. And what's worse is that you can't have, you know, you can't ban one and then also get rid of the other, right? Like, you know, pot stores and gangs, there's like an interrelationship here. And, you know, in banning pot stores from the city, you're effectively emboldening gangs to be the ones distributing pot. So it's like you have a choice here. The choice is quite stark. What is it? What's the topic you care about? What do you care about? Do you care about getting rid of gang violence or do you care about, you know, getting rid of pot stores? What's your choice? You can't have both. And if you want both, I mean, it's well outside of, you know, Brampton's purview, first of all, and number two, economically speaking, you just can't. It's like the market forces won't allow you to have both. You cannot fight this.
So hold on. I am right. She has in the photo of the prop of the wall, she has two bricks that say Brock on them.
It's not even a city. Maybe it's Brock the Pokemon trainer. Yes. Like maybe that's one Brock.
Oh, you can't build a wall without Brocks. Yeah. So.
Well, yeah, Brock is a rock type trainer, and therefore that's where the brick wall
yes,
comes from.
Yes, okay. That is true.
I think that's a bit of a
it's
stretch.
A reference to Pokemon.
Yeah, of course.
That's a secret reference. So here's the thing here, and people have had issues with this, and I think the biggest thing being that she used a Trump reference. Like it's just... She's fast becoming the John Spravieri of this council, like ranting about crazy things. Like for so long, he ranted about wanting fluoride out of the water. I feel like this is how this conversation is devolving, you know? She used these Trump references, which just, I don't think that won her any points politically. It just leaves a bad taste in people's mouths. I don't understand why on earth you would bring him into any of the politics here.
Well, it seems populist. Like it's just like a demagoguery type populist.
And she didn't strike me as that type of person. But I think, you know, Councillor Rowena Santos she clapped back pretty hard actually at this whole thing because it was very hastily put together. We got a release at 6:30 in the morning and then literally this event where they were going to build this brick of walls was at 9 a.m. And pretty soon after that, I had a statement from Councillor Santos, who basically said, this does not reflect council. They've gone on this journey now to hear really genuinely what the public has to say. So this one councillor putting out this, you know, kind of fighting against this is really sort of closing the conversation up and closing the door for people to give their opinion. And she basically said she didn't like the Trumpy tactics that she used. So, I mean, I thought that was an interesting perspective to add to everything.
I feel like this is kind of like, just like a kind of a desperation to fight the legalization of weed, right?
You know what I mean? That's not what the conversation is about. Yeah. It is legal, folks. Like
it's here.
Brampton can't do anything about it.
It's available.
Now the question is who distributes it?
Right.
Right. Do we still like I think we are forgetting that the core premise of cannabis legalization was not to give your children weed. It was to get, you know, the profits out of the hands of gangs. This was primarily a crime reduction strategy. And, you know, what's happening now is we're just telling cities, well, hey, do you just not want pot and therefore keep distribution in the hands of, you know, less than savory people, right? Brampton has been facing in the past year an uptick in a minor uptick in violent crime. And we've been seeing it, like we've been seeing it in the media. A lot of people have been talking about it, but these conversations have been happening in parallel, right? Like there isn't this connection yet that, hey, you know what? Why do gangs exist to begin with, right? No, like a bunch of young kids don't just come together and say, you know what? We're just gonna beat the fuck out of people, right? Like that's not what they do. Like the entire premise of gangs is drug distribution and like, you know, illegal markets. Like that's like gangs are just corporations with guns, right? That distribute some sort of illegal product. In this case, in the past, that illegal product was weed. And if we don't allow, you know, legal means of distribution, physical distribution in the city, you're not going to do anything to get rid of gangs. And, you know, all you're doing with, you know, like Charmaine Williams wants a gun buyback program, right? So what you're doing is you're going to be giving these gangs money from, like, first of all, weed profits, and then you're going to pay them for having guns. Like, come on, right? The whole strategy is just to, like, embolden and enrich gangs, right? So it's either that or you legalize pot shops. End of story.
Yeah. And I mean, I think when you look at the conversation, they had a town hall last week to discuss this. A lot of young people showed up and shared their opinions. And a lot of them talked about the fact that, yeah, they know people who have illegally obtained weed and cannabis and other products, and they get themselves in trouble because of it. They really, you know, spoke to the fact that there needs to be a legal way to obtain this and a safe way to obtain this. So the conversation isn't over, despite, you know, what Councillor Williams has had to say. The city's hosting a special council meeting on January 21st to decide on the decision. Any members of the public can delegate to council to share their opinions. And on that night, council will actually also be voting. So we're going to find out the day before the deadline whether Brampton decides to opt in or opt out.
My feeling on this is, if you're okay with LCBOs, beer stores, alcohol sold in grocery stores, tobacco, cigarettes, which are all legal and distributed, then you should have no issues with cannabis shops. It's far less dangerous than those other substances anyways.
Yeah.
And I say this as a guy who doesn't partake in any of these substances.
Not at all.
That's all from us this week. Thanks for listening in. Brampton Talks is available on Spotify, Apple, and Google, or by visiting BramptonIst.com/BramptonTalks.